Welcome to the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, the podcast by filmmakers for filmmakers. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined alongside my co-host, Jeff, as always. Jeff and I are writers and directors and passionate about the art of storytelling. Filmmaker Mixer is a creative hub where aspiring and established filmmakers come together to share experiences, insights, strategies, and inspiration.
And today we are chatting with Stephanie Harrison and Stephanie Moore about their new company, Gemini Crown Tech, which has created production software that can help filmmakers and producers with every element of their production. Hello, everybody. This is the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, and today we are chatting with Stephanie Harrison and Stephanie Moore. The two Stephanies are the founding members of Gemini Crown and Gemini Crown Tech, which has created an all-in-one video production solution with their new software, which you can use to create schedules, call sheets, contact lists, pretty much anything you would need to plan or track an indie film, a commercial, a corporate video. So, Stephanies, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And before we jump in, I just want to stress at the beginning of the show that this software covers budgeting, scheduling, call sheets, script breakdowns. You can put things on calendars. You can add alerts to the calendars. I think it even has a mobile function that you can add. So we really want to jump into this. I don't think we can cover all of this, but I guess first tell me, and either one of you can start, where did you get the idea to launch this new software?
So Steph and I have been in the independent film community for about 15 years, and we met years ago at a local filmmaker mixer. She's a line producer, and I do production as well. A big part of this came out of the frustration of having so many pieces that you had to either buy or still do manually, that whenever we sat down and talked about it, we were thinking, there has got to be a better way to do this than what we're doing. I work a lot in IT on the end user side, and I have to work with vendors that are coming in presenting all these big bells and whistles, but their end users are state employees and teachers and things like that. So they come in and present this big package, and then I say, okay, here's your target audience. Now go. And so when you come at it from that way, you need something really simple, quick and easy to learn. You don't have to do a ton of tutorials behind it. And that was part of our frustration with the stuff that's existing in the market, is that it takes too long to learn it. And then there's pieces of it you still have to go and do manually, or you still have to, you know, buy your own server or your own systems outside that. You still have to use email. And so we wanted an all-in-one place that was easy to use, that any level of filmmaker can use. Brand new filmmaker, tenured filmmaker. Steph is a line producer, so a lot of this is her brain thought behind of, okay, this is what we have to do now. How can we make that automated? How can we make it better? And so between my experience with user experience side of software and Steph's experience with the line production and your binders and your clipboards and all of the stuff that you have to take on set whenever you do line production, are producing in general, but generally line production, and putting that in one package. So that's where we came up with the idea for Production Value, which is the software's name, to get out there and help make filmmaking equitable for filmmakers, to where you have a little bit more even playing field. So line producing is one of those mysteries of production. Nobody really knows what a line producer does. Our software really walks you through what a line producer does. So that was the brainchild for it.
And is it set up that you can work in like teams, like different Yes. people can share? Okay. So explain that. How does that work exactly?
So essentially what we did was, one of the things that frustrated me was what is already on the market is that you can have one or two people doing it, but no one else can access it. That is not equitable. And it's really difficult to do collaborative things like film, like video production, when you can't collaborate with other people without having to buy, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of, you know, software, equipment, whatever. So what we did was we made it to where when you go into the software, it depends on how you're going in, but you have access to it. So you have your producers that have the access to it, your producers, your line producers, your EPs. They have all access. And then you have each of the departments, and each of the departments also has access to it. And there is an app, a mobile app, that allows everyone on your set, including cast and your PAs, everyone. When I say everyone, I mean everyone who's on there to actually get in there and whatever their specific role is, they have access to it. So let's say you're a PA in the camera department. You have access to the parts of the camera department that you need to be aware of. So let's say that you're the PA that's in charge of lenses for the day. Okay, great. So our inventory control part actually will allow those PAs to check in and check out that inventory. So there's all kinds of pieces in there that, you know, you don't always think about when you're on set, but if you're like me and you're a line producer, or you're an accountant, production accountants, or you're a rental house and you're trying to keep track of, you know, your lenses, your, oh my gosh, the amount of stingers that just disappear.
Dear Lord. Let me interrupt real quickly. Are you saying that you can have the inventory and it'll show what's in use on what day? So if I need something else, I know I have to go find it.
Yes. Who has it at what time? Because we wanted to, that was one of the big things being on set that I've seen, is you just lose random stingers. You know, those, it's like, okay, well, there goes $400 out the door. Yeah. And it's really making it more equitable so that when you do have these smaller films, you can get the most out of what you have. And it's not going to, oh, well, we have to replace, you know, these stingers, or we have to replace, you know, of course you're going to have to replace the expendables, but the things that aren't really expendable that just kind of sometimes just disappear because no one knows where they are. That was one of my frustrations being on film sets was, you know, okay, so where are these things? Nobody knows because nobody's keeping up with it. Are the mobile app actually, like, if you have a PA who's going around saying, okay, I'm in charge of lenses today, so I'm camera department PA, I'm in charge of lenses today, they check it in, they check it out, then, you know where, you know who is supposed to have it. And then if you take it a step further, let's say you have something on set, like a stunt, or you have weapons on set. That's another thing we thought was extremely important, especially after the Rust incident, but not just that incident. But I mean, Sarah Jones, that should have never happened. And that was not getting a permit, but it was also not knowing who was supposed to be where, when. And that being able to let people know on set, like immediately, like, hey, today we have, you know, we have two stunts today. These are the people who will be in that stunt. These are the stunt coordinators. These are the medics on set. This is who is involved in that stunt. Things like that, so that you know what's going on. And if it's a weapon, who in the world is supposed to have that weapon? Who the weapons master is? Who actually has permission to be touching that weapon, when they should be touching it? And then everybody on set has it. It's not so siloed that you're creating dangerous situations. That was a lot of it. For me as a producer, and I think for Stephanie too, was we want to make sets safer, and this is a good way to make it safer, so that everybody on set knows that, hey, this is what's going on today, and it's not going, we're not relying on email, because not everybody checks their email all the time, and you know, you don't always check your phone either. So it's a way for us to be like, okay, hey, everybody has access to this, everybody can know what's going on.
So that brings up a question I have. One of my pet peeves is, you know, you send out call sheets via email, and I always want people to respond to make sure they were, you know, did you get it? Did you get it? And some people are fast. Some people are slow. Some people it's, you know, 5 o'clock before call time, or it's call time is 5 a.m. and you get the confirmation at 3 a.m. Can they confirm communication via this app?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So you as the user, as the producer, whenever you send it out, you'll see that they got it and they opened it. And then it'll pop up on their app. So they get like a push notification saying they have something on their app to go look at. It's very, I mean, we're all used to getting the little notifications on your app. You get it for your email. You get it for your Nextdoor app. You get it for all of your apps. It'll show up that you have a notification. And you click on the app and it'll tell you the schedule's been updated. It'll give you an alert. Hey, there's going to be crazy weather in West Texas tomorrow, so we're going to have to push that shoot out, you know, 2 more days. There's going to be a weapon on set. Everybody needs to be aware there's going to be a weapon on set from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. All of those can go out to everybody through the app. And as the cast and crew who download the app, you only have to have one app, and you can be on multiple projects. And you can be on multiple projects for multiple people and multiple companies that are all using the production value software. So if I'm a cast member, and I'm on four different projects at the same time or within the same time frame, but I'm still getting all my notifications from each of those projects through my app. And I don't have to download the software unless I want it for myself, but the producers would have the software where they can send me my specific information, my call sheets, and I'm not getting everybody else's personal information. I'm just getting my need to know when I need to be there, where I need to be. You can send out pins to let people know where set locations may have changed. It's just a really easy communication tool. We've both worked sets where you're having to make last minute changes and now you're scrambling trying to call and text everybody. Instead of sending out a jillion different texts and hope you have everybody on text string, you select your cast, you send out the notification, it goes out to everybody that has the app.
That's interesting. And obviously it's meant to be paperless. You can just log in from your phone, I guess, or from your laptop or, and just check your schedule and see last minute changes. That's smart. Mm-hmm. That's good. Let's circle back to something else. I know both of you have experience in writing and short films and production. So I'm curious, and we can start with the other Stephanie. from working on set, how did that feed the ideas on how you wanted to develop this app? I guess really what the question is, and this could go to either one of you. I guess the question is, what does this app do that you weren't able to do a few years ago? That's probably a better way to put it.
So if you take the actual production binder that a lot of people are used to working off of, there's several things. One, we have enterprise content management, which for those that aren't familiar with that, it's keeping all of your documents in one place. So I don't have to go chase down all of the people that are involved in my production to get their receipts, to get their contracts, to get their...
So can you track
version of the script? It's all contained in the software. And then anybody can go in who has access to the software that I add to it. They can go into the individual folders on the dashboard for that particular project and get the information that they need instead of having to go look in your personal drives, your email, your Google Drive, your Dropbox. It's all in one software, which is a huge time saver, especially when you're working on lower budget films or any budget film, really. It's a huge time saver to have it all in one spot. That's one. It's truly mobile. So if you have the software, it's not, it's internet-based. So you don't have to be tied to one particular computer anywhere that you can log in. And we've tested it on phones. So we have a compatible app that's available on iOS and on Google. So you can download it to a tablet, you can download it to an iPad, you can work from your phones, but the software works on those devices as well. So even you have the full-blown software, you can be mobile with your app, with your laptop, and you're not tied to a desk to go back and do your job, which a lot of producers, especially line producers, wind up doing. You have to go back at like 1 a.m. and update everything and send it back out, where you can actually do that live time. And we made the some of the functions of like the strip board where you can, it's truly compatible on your tablet. You can like drag and drop the scenes that you didn't get to for that day. And so your strip board's updated before you leave set, instead of you having to spend hours trying to go back and look through all your logs and update it there. So making it easier, making it accessible. We talked to a lot of different producers while we were developing this. And the big complaint was for a lot of the programs out there is you have to download it on one system. So
you mean it has to live on one computer?
Computer. Oh, yeah. Wow. One computer. And so you can't, because it's not internet-based, it's just a straight digital download.
It's just hardware-based.
Yes. Yes. And it takes up room on your computer. This doesn't. It's cloud-based. So everything is saved in the cloud. You're not going to lose your content. It's backed up. We used AWS, which is Amazon Web Services, to build it out. So you have the security of AWS, which is one of the highest internet securities available. And you have the confidence of knowing that you're not going to lose your content. Even if your computer dies while you're on set, it's backed up, it's on the cloud. You just go log into another computer and you're good to go, or phone or wherever.
So I've got a question. As I mentioned earlier, Andrew and I are prepping a film right now. And I'm curious, one of the things we do in pre-production, working with production designers and things like that, is we build out mood boards on Pinterest a lot. Can you link things like that, like outside links? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. And what about, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm sorry I interrupted you. And one of the big things for me as a producer as well was reports and templates, being able to like pull those things, because, you know, some people are just going to use their own, but there are a lot of people who are like, you know, newer filmmakers, who don't know what they're looking for. We have all those templates in the product itself so that you don't have to go looking for it. And what someone has told me that tried the software was, this is the biggest production report I've ever seen, but it actually covers everything an editor needs. And was one of my goals, was to have it where when you're looking at the daily production report, they can actually see the audio, the visual, the continuity. They can see all of that in that one big report, and it adds together so that you're not looking for it in 17 different places.
That's interesting. I just finished post on a feature, and we ran into a situation. It was a low budget feature, so I understand, but where we had to track down, you know, script supervisor notes and things like that. So what you're saying is, if I have access to this software, this portal, I don't have to chase down someone. It should just be there. Mm-mm. Oh, that's cool. That's interesting.
So your scripty can literally take their notes and put it into the document folder, and it's there for them. And then they can send it to the edit, you know, just say, hey, send a message within the app and say, hey, editor, whoever the editor is, the DIT, the producers, the director, whoever needs it, production designer for the next day. Hey, these are our continuity notes for the day. Here we go. Same thing with sound, same thing with cinematography, all of that.
Interesting. And what about, well, I guess it's just, they're just documents. I was thinking about casting. If you're scanning headshots or people are sending you auditions and headshots, you can capture all that in there as well.
So we put, we created a dashboard, and each project has its own dashboard. So again, I keep going back to like the paper version. So if you had your folders and you're carrying around your production box with all the headshots and everything in there, you have all your different dividers. We put those folders in there so you can just store everything per project. So if you have location shots, we have a place for you to put your location photos. We have a place for you to put your, upload your storyboard and drop it in there. We have a place for you to add your cast members and their information. The good thing about the cast members is on their app, they keep their personal information updated. So through their app, they would keep, you know, their height, their measurements, their hair color, all of that updated in their app. And when you add them to the project, that imports over.
Oh, so cool.
Yes, you're not having to go and get all that information from them. You just send them a push notification. Hey, I'm missing your shirt size, add it. And they go in and add it, and it updates on your side because they're a member on your project.
So could someone who's an actor, who say they're not on a given show yet, can they use that app to keep all their information? And then if they get hired on the show, oh, that's really interesting.
So there's a QR code. Each person's information is stored in a QR code, and all they have to do is send that QR code, and it gives you everything. And one of the things that was really important to Stephanie and I when we were creating it was medical and like
food allergies,
things like that. Like if someone, I cannot tell you how many sets I've been on where people's food needs are not being met. Like they didn't know they had three people who were allergic to lactose on their set. And it's like, that's not something you mess with. Like if they're gluten-free, if you know, they're vegetarian, if they're vegan, let's say somebody has a latex allergy, you need to know those things on your set. And so this automatically, within that QR code, you fill that information out and then it's sent to the proper people without like blasting it to everyone. But then everybody on your team that needs to know that. So like if it is a food thing, then your catering and your medics would know, your crafty would also know, like, hey, this person, like me personally, I'm allergic to tomatoes, so I put that on everything. Hey, I am definitely allergic to tomatoes. I let the medics know, I have an EpiPen, blah, 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 blah. This is how you take care of this specific allergy, which 90% of the time I can take care of myself. But like, let's say, you know, hey, we're having spaghetti on set for some reason, like that's way too high in carbs. But say you're doing that for set that day, you're doing something where it's tomato based, like bouillon based or something like that, then okay, then I can't have that. What are the other options? And we went and did that with catering too, where you can actually, if you're a catering person, you can actually say like, hey, you can send out menus and say, hey, these are the options for tomorrow. Please select your options. So also like thinking as a line producer and a production accountant and just somebody who's a little bit OCD and type A, making sure like we're not wasting, especially when you're on those lower budget films, being able to say like, hey, here, we're sending this out. Here's what your menu is for tomorrow. Please let us know what these are. And then your name gets put on it, so somebody doesn't accidentally take your food. You know, because I've seen that happen on sets too, where somebody just didn't know that there was a person that was gluten-free, and they were gluten-free because they were celiac and not because they chose to be. And so they didn't have food on set, and it ruins everybody's day. So like just thinking of, you know, these tiny little details that make a world of difference in happy, healthy crews and cast for that matter.
So this is actually important, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like, because when I first started using the software with the free trial, I was looking at it from, hey, we're doing this production, you know, I'm looking at it from that lens, but it sounds like it could also be useful for just a person who's a caterer or a person who's an actor and they're not on a specific show, but they can build out their portfolio, their profile, all of these things, menus, headshots, all those things ahead of time, so that when they get hired, they can just zip it to the production. That's really smart. That's really interesting.
It's the vendor management side of the product.
And it speeds things up. You know, I mean, I can remember doing shows where, you know, low budget indie shows or even, you know, corporate videos where you have to suddenly change a location and then you got to send someone out. They got to find a menu or they got to get it online. Then they got everybody's, you know, write down what you want. And it's just, if you have all that ahead of time, it's just faster. So what about, we just came off of the Austin Film Festival I've been a few months now, but what about promotion? Is there anything worked in that, like here's an example. For example, we had a meeting with a producer the other day and he suggested an idea that I'd never heard of before, which I thought was really smart. It was a low budget film. And he said that he allowed everyone to take pictures on set. They couldn't send them to anybody. You know, they were just, you know, videos, behind the scenes stuff. They were all allowed to do that. Couldn't post them, but they had to send them to a particular funnel so that they would have access to them for promotion, which I had never heard that before. It's pretty smart. You're shaking your head. You've heard of this before, I guess. So can you gather all that information in the, Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So anybody that has a phone can, and that has, is a part of your project, can send you stuff through the app. So if I go and take pictures, then I can send them through the app and then you would get them. And then it's up to you whether or not you want to keep them in your production folder or not. But that capability is there.
That is interesting. And I guess you could also track potential distributors. And if you're going to a film festival or if you're shopping the film around, you're going to AFM, you can use it that way as well.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what can't you do with this?
So
I guess you can't make the movie.
Can't make the movie. This is all the production binder stuff. So we didn't have a script writing software because Final Draft, you know, they're sure, phenomenal. Sure. With Final Draft, we do have API with Final Draft. So
what does that mean?
That means we're the only company that has actually approached Final Draft to make our software fully compatible with any version of Final Draft that you have. And we talked to the developers at Final Draft because one of the complaints of some of our competitors is that if you upgrade your Final Draft, then all of a sudden your software doesn't work. And so we talked to them. We were at AFF. This was 2 years ago. We talked to them at AFF and we're like, how do we keep that from happening? And they were like, talk to us and let us know what you need and when you're going to go live. And so our developers worked with their developers and they send us a code every time they do an update. And so our software keeps up with theirs. So it doesn't matter what version of Final Draft that you have. The script breakdown program will still work in our software regardless of which version of Final Draft you have. We're the only ones that have that. Out of the market, out of anybody, even out of all of the people who've been in existence for 20 plus years. And again, Final Draft says we're the only ones that have ever asked.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
But whenever you're trying to develop something that's better than what's out there, one of the first things you do is go look at the complaints. What do people not like about what exists? And that was a huge one. And Final Draft was so excited that we talked to them because they're fighting customers, not fighting customers, but they're trying to convince customers it's not their issue. It's like, no, it's not a Final Draft issue, because a lot of the comments, if you go read like Reddit or anything like that, it's like, well, I upgraded my Final Draft and now my blah 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 doesn't work.
Oh, right.
It's not that. It's just that the competitor didn't keep up with the Final Draft's rollouts. So again, every time that they make any little tweak to their software, they send our developers the code and they just upload the new code. And so it works from the newest version all the way back.
So if I want to export documents from Final Draft, it's compatible with your software, is what you're saying. That's cool.
And
Interesting.
if you were to use, like, so Final Draft has this really cool thing, and where you can actually tag your elements in Final Draft, like while you're still in their software, it actually will allow it to move those elements that you've tagged while you're in their screenwriting software into our breakdown. So our breakdown does part of the breakdown automatically for you if it's formatted correctly. And then if you've tagged the element, if you've tagged any of the elements, if you're a producer who already does that in Final Draft, it will move it over. It's that compatible with Final Draft.
That's
Works great.
interesting. So I'm curious also, I want to go back to something you said earlier about having the templates. It sounds like it's a great piece of software for a new filmmaker who's just jumping in. They're going to do their first short, their first feature, because if you got the template, because we've all done that. We've Googled, shot list templates. We've Googled, call sheets, whatever. If I'm going to start a short film or a new feature and I'm just out of school or I'm just out just doing it, it's all there already.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes. And Steph very painstakingly went and researched a lot of those templates that you're just like, why is it so hard to find this one particular template? And
Oh, can I talk
then
about the exciting one?
maybe. And then went and put them
Getting
in a
excited about templates here.
oh, it's really exciting. And then put them in a usable format. And so part of what we wanted to do with our product was it was for students to learn how to make films. My son is an RTF student, a radio, television, and film at the University of Texas. And some of the stuff that he's learning now, I'm like, oh, we have that in our software. We have that in our software. But it's very user-friendly for any level of student. We're actually in communications with a couple of school districts out in the Houston, Texas area to build out a curriculum to go along with the software.
Oh,
They're very
interesting.
interested in using the software in their high schools and getting students to know the business side of film, because a lot of high schools teach the creative side, but there's so many kids out there that have no idea that there's a whole business side of film until they get out there and like, well, nobody told me you could do this. Maybe I wanted to go that route. So part of what we're doing is developing, we have the curriculum there. It's going through the TEKS process to make sure it meets all the check boxes for the education side. But it is there and in ready to launch with the school districts. But that helps them to learn a different career path for filmmaking, other than the part that everybody knows, which is the filming, the recording, the editing. A lot of people know and understand the creative side, but they don't understand the business side of film.
Well, what's interesting about that, I think even if you are in the creative side of the filmmaking and as opposed to the business side, knowing all those aspects is good. It's just going to help you be a better filmmaker. But
Exactly.
Stephanie, other Stephanie, you said you had a story you wanted to tell us. What was that about the
Oh,
templates?
yes. So one of the templates that I got so excited about that nobody, it took me forever to figure it out. Deliverables checklist. Like, it's not going to get
Oh,
you
wow.
every distributor, but it will at least get you in the door, because we have a friend who is an amazing filmmaker. He's an actor, he's a filmmaker, he's a director, he's great. And we asked him, we were like, okay, so what is the one thing that you struggle with so hard? And he's like, being able to get my stuff to distribution, to get a distributor to even look at it. And I was
Right.
like, what do you mean? He goes, I don't know everything I need for it. And so I was like, okay, well, how can I fix this? And so we created a template that's a distribution checklist, a deliverables checklist, not really a distribution checklist, but a deliverables checklist that actually tells you, like, it's up to date on, like, do you need, you both, you need Dolby and you need stereo, you need both. Like, you can't do one or the other. You have to have this, you have to have the DCPs. You know, you have to have, you have to have all of these different legal documents, and it literally goes through and has you check it off and has you say, like, okay, do I have all of these releases? Do I have all the art releases? Do I have all the photo releases? Do I have all the location releases? Do I need to show my permits? Do, you know, the investor PPMs, which are the investor packets that, like, tell you, like, where you got the money from, you know? Do I have all the information for, you know, things like grants, things like that, that really do have to do with the distribution and the deliverables that nobody thinks about. And then on top of that, like, reminds you about, like, things that you need, like EPKs, like the electronic press kits, you know, what all goes into an electronic press kit. It has that in there because I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know all these things. I didn't know, like, I knew the legal part of it, and I knew, like, some of the releases, but I didn't realize, like, oh, well, you're going to have to, like, turn in the logs, the QA logs and the QC logs and all of that kind of stuff. So it has all of that information so that we can get people, because there's a lot of really good stuff out there that can't be distributed because it doesn't check every box. And so it's a way of essentially getting rid of some of that gatekeeping that people just don't know about. You know, unless you can hire a $10,000 a day person to do that for you. Yes, you still need a lawyer to look everything over to make sure, you know, all the legal stuff is there. But before you get to that point, if you can get it to where, hey, here's everything you're going to need, you know, whether whoever the deliverables, whoever you're giving it to, because the distributor will go to a EA, more than likely an entertainment attorney, to make sure everything's in order. You already have that? Okay, great. It makes the attorneys happier. But it also means that you have a better chance of having your stuff seen, because even the film festivals, depending on which film festival it is, a lot of them can't take it unless all of those things are already there. And so it's giving you a better chance at it. And, you know, also, if you really look at it, it gives you a better idea of, like, what's actually in your budget and what you need to account for.
And that came out. We went to American Film Market 2 years ago and met some incredible filmmakers. And this is when our stuff was still in development. We didn't have the software rollout yet. And we were watching people come out of the big hall where they have the distributors in there with tears. I mean, just group after group walking out with tears, and they were getting turned away from the table because they were missing a lot of the stuff on this deliverables checklist. And we were just like, that is heart-wrenching to watch as an independent filmmaker, because you know how much time and money and dedication that you put into your project, and you have interest, you get to the table and they're like, sorry, we can't even talk to you at this point because you're missing all this stuff. And so we literally sat at a happy hour with a group of filmmakers who were going through this, and they were like, we were so close. We were so close to having a deal with this company. We were so close. And we were like, what happened? And so they told us all the stuff that they were told that they couldn't move forward with because they were missing. And one of the things that they were missing in their particular film was art releases. They had all this artwork in the background, but they didn't have it in their film. And so they were like, we can't even re-edit that to where it's not visible and it makes sense in your film. And we were like, art releases, that kept you from a potential multi-million dollar deal. And they're like, yes. So we wanted to make sure that stuff was included in this deliverables checklist, which is 20. How many pages is it?
17.
It's just 17 pages of just stuff that you need to be aware of whenever you're trying to take it to that next level.
Well, you know, we live in an age where we have access to so much great technology that mm-hmm. you know, anybody can go out and make a film. Clearly, you have to have a good idea, a good story. You have to have some sense of what you're doing. But, you know, you can go out and do a low-budget indie with your friends or your film school buddies or whatever. But they often don't think of those things. You know, I mean, I remember when I did my first film, I was, you know, I, you know, it's like, oh, M&E tracks, and you need this, and you need E&O insurance, and it's a lot of that stuff. It's not sexy to learn about that stuff. You know, we love to
Right.
look at cinematography, YouTube videos, and all these crazy things, and ideas on story, and Save the Cat, you know, websites, and all that stuff that's fun, the creative side. We forget about the nuts and bolts that help you sell the movie. So that's very interesting. Well, where can people find out more about the software's active now? It's launched. Is that correct? It's good to go. So tell people where they can find it, how they can. There is a free trial, right? Is that how it works? Or okay,
There's a
cool.
7-day free trial. If you go to GeminiCrownTech.com, you can see some of the highlights of the software, and you can sign up for the free trial up in the top right-hand corner. It says sign in, sign up, and you can go there and then log in for your free trial. And then after your free trial, if you want to continue with the software, you can of course make the purchase on a monthly basis or annual subscription basis. And it is subscription-based, and we're doing that because we have several new upgrades that are going to be or add-ons that we're not going to charge you for, but we'll add them to the software. And you can just, you know, as people give us feedback and use it and get in there and use it and make suggestions, we plan on keeping it up to date with what people need in order to get their job done.
And what's the website? It's
GeminiCrownTech.com.
GeminiCrownTech.com. Well, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, Stephanie Harrison and Stephanie Moore. I haven't seen Stephanie Harrison in quite a while. We met years ago, and I'm glad you're doing this new software launch. It's really interesting. Are you going to be adding any new software to your list of goodies?
Yes, we will. We're actually in development on the live production software. So it's going to be along the same lines, but for people who run the film festivals or who do the live events,
Oh,
like
interesting.
they have slightly different needs. And we've both worked in film festivals. Steph has worked as a theater manager and producers, so we have a really good idea of what those needs are. Even for like wedding planners, you've done that too. She's kind of a jack of all trades on the production side. But there's particular needs that you have to get that job done, and they're kind of in the same boat as filmmakers. They're going everywhere to try to get the products that they need to get from point A to point Z. So that one's in development. And then we have a film grant incentive database that is actually ready to roll out. That's going to be a separate product under Gemini Crown Tech, where you can go in and do side-by-side comparisons of the different film incentives within the US. And it's very up to date and explains like what the different film incentives are.
And by that, what we mean is like the difference between like the grant and rebate programs versus the tax credits, the refundable versus the transferable, those kinds of things. And it's not just those top credits. It also goes into details about like how much of your cast and crew have to be from that area, if there are any like uplifts, because a lot of places do have uplifts depending on
What
where you're.
is an uplift? I haven't heard that term before. What do you mean?
An uplift is additional incentives, so local incentives.
Oh,
So
gotcha.
depending on where you are, depends on, you know, it, is it like in Texas, is there an economically disadvantaged area that you're filming in? So like West Texas has, all of West Texas has a 2.5% additional to it. But then also ours has like information about, do you get the hotel occupancy tax refund back based on however many days you're staying? Is there a fuel tax exemption? Some places there are. In some states, there are sales tax exemptions. Just all of that information that you may not know otherwise, that can honestly, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of incentives out there, but if you really look at it, oh my goodness, like you can save a lot of funds for your actual production if you just know how to do the incentives, how, if you know how to read the incentives, if you can compare and contrast and say, hey, this is what we need from here, or does it make more sense to go, you know, somewhere else? It just depends. And so, you know, there are a lot of places that you can find the incentive maps, but none of them go into the detail that we do, and none of them allow you to actually look at them side by side
Oh, that's
the way
interesting.
the way we're doing it, because I mean, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, I don't really care that there's, you know, all these different things. I need to be able to look at it and actually compare my apples to my apples and my oranges to my oranges. And so that's the whole idea behind our incentives database. And then our grants database is not only film related, it has to do with theater and live events as well, and nonprofits. So just being able to say like, hey, these are the, this is, and really being able to say like what those grants are for. Like, are they for post-production? Are they for
development?
You know, development, because there are development grants that hardly anybody knows about, which is amazing. And it's not just for documentaries, it's for narratives, it's for shorts, it's for all these different things. So that's, those are the additional, some of the additional ones. And then we also have a film festival database as well.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. That's interesting. So yes. Is that like connected like to Film Freeway or something, or is it just your own database, or how's it? And is it, well, tell our it, own.
Yeah,
having just gone through a bunch of film festivals, I'm curious, tell me about that. How does that work?
So with the film festival database, the way it's set up is that essentially, like, nobody likes to admit it, but there's tiers to the festivals. You know, you have your top 15, and then you have your second tier, which are incredible festivals that a lot of the distributors go to, that you just don't realize they're at because they're not flashy as those top 15. And then you have the regional, and then you have the local festivals.
And you have the niche genre festivals, which I think are really important for certain types of films.
Exactly. And so that's the way that database works, is that it actually, like, the way I've set it, or the way we've developed it, is that it actually works in conjunction with the software itself, to where if you're interested in certain festivals, if you're at the point that you're looking at festivals, it will actually, you say, I want to know more about this festival, this festival, this festival, and this festival. I need to know when these dates are coming up. Like, when is early admit, or when is early, what is it called?
Submission.
Early submission. I couldn't think of the word. early submission. When is regular submission? When is late submission? But not only that, but like, what kind of films are they actually looking for? Because
I'm sorry not to interrupt, but that's a big one actually, because we've had some film festival, some folks who've started film festivals and run film festivals on the show, and they do have their, I hate to use the word brand because I don't really mean that, but they do have the types of films that they lean into. And so, you know, if you're just blasting, you know, if you're on Film Freeway, I can't speak, and you're just blasting all these film festivals, spending all this money, you may be flushing money down the drain and not being aware of, say, like the San Diego Horror Film Festival. You know, that's a real niche festival that would be perfect for your show. So anyway, but go ahead.
Yeah, so it has a lot to do with that. And, you know, I'm also like, I know someone who does this all the time. She's a film festival consultant, and that's all that she does. And she's incredible at it. And so I was asking her what would be helpful to her. And she's like, just something where it's not just up there, and that it just, that you have to investigate it, but you can actually say, I'm looking for horror film festivals, or I'm looking for this, but I'm looking for this time of the year, because, you know, a lot of film festivals have it to where if your film was finished 2 years ago, you're no longer eligible. Those kinds of things. That's what the database is going to do, is kind of show you like what Film Freeway kind of meant to start out as, but then turned into this whole new monster. But really more so being like, okay, look, here's what you have. And then if you're interested, you know, you can always talk to us or the film doctor, which is Rebecca Fields. She's amazing. And she'll help you like figure out, you know, how to do things like that. But just talking to people, being like, okay, so I have this film and here's where it fits. Now, what do I do? So you're not, like you're saying, not just throwing money at it. Where it doesn't fit, because also if you're paying attention to who the programmers are, that'll tell you a lot about what the theme is,
right?
Because
right.
programmers have certain things they like, certain things they will always program, and then there's certain things they stay away from. You know, like there's certain festival programmers who love body horror. That's not a bad thing. It's just knowing that that's what that specific part, that specific programmer programs. You don't want to take and submit a psychological thriller, because they're not going to go for it. So it's kind of, it kind of helps, you know, helps you figure it out. And then if you want more help, of course you can contact us and we're happy to help with that too. Or somebody like Rebecca, who is amazing and can help as well. Cause she does the PR side and everything. And I'm just like, away from PR. That's crazy.
That's a whole other ball game.
Yes.
Well, give us the website one more time, just so people can have it.
It's GeminiCrownTech.com. Kind of easy way to remember that is that you have the two Stephanies. So Gemini, that's the two of us.
Oh, good.
And then Stephanie means the crown one. So Gemini, crown.
Was that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's play off of our names.
Well, that's perfect. Well, I sure appreciate your time. The software is awesome. I hope you have great luck with the company. And the door is always open. If you want to circle back and chat some more, just let us know.
All right. Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. You guys take care.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Filmmaker Mixer Podcast, a podcast created and hosted by filmmakers Jeff Stolen and Andrew Lamping and produced by Melody Lopez.
Our theme song was composed by Stephen D. Bennett.
Make sure to follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on and stay tuned for future episodes.